nearly 2,000 years, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ has been the most popular and the most precious name that human lips have spoken. And there must be a reason. He has done more for the world than any other person. And he still stands ready to do even more if only he can find needy ones who will put their trust in him. Our one aim and desire is to magnify and extol his blessed name. Will you listen as we seek to sing his praises and tell of his wondrous love? This is Welcome Detweiler speaking. Doctor tells the story of visiting a patient who was nearing the end of this life. After a careful examination, the dying shoemaker asked the doctor if there was any chance of recovery. The doctor replied, "I am sorry to tell you that your chances are very slim." "Then how long do you think I have yet to live?" "My guess would be a few months," said the doctor. Seeing he was a Christian doctor, he felt it was his responsibility to inquire about his spiritual welfare. So he asked the shoemaker if he had made any preparations for eternity. "Of course I am. I am as ready to die as anyone else." "And what has made you ready? Are your sins forgiven? Are they all washed away in the precious blood of Christ?" The shoemaker replied, "That's all stuff. I don't believe in any of that nonsense. I'm a free thinker." "So I see," said the doctor, "but being a free thinker will not fit you for God's presence. I tell you, I don't believe in a God at all, so I will not have to meet him." "But," said the doctor, "the scripture says that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." "But I don't believe in the Bible. It's only fit for old women who can't reason. No reasonable man believes it in these days." "But," the doctor continued, "I'm not an old woman, and yet I'm proud to confess that I believe all of the Bible to be the Word of God." "But what good has it done you?" "That's a good question," said the doctor. "Through that blessed book, I have discovered that I was born in sin and the possessor of a sinful nature. Also, that I am helpless so far as getting rid of my sins is concerned. But the same book tells me of one who loved me to the extent that he died in my place and bore my punishment for my sins while hanging on Calvary's cross. The same book declares that God is satisfied with the substitutionary death of his Son and offers to me eternal life. And a few years ago, as a lost guilty sinner, I rested my hope for eternity in his finished work and became the possessor of eternal life. And now I can say, I know where I'm going after I die." "Stop right there," cried the shoemaker, "for I don't believe a word of it. No one can know what will be after death. But the doctor continued, "Then death to you will be a leap into the dark." "Yes, I suppose so." "Ah, my friend," exclaimed the doctor, "it may be a leap into the dark for you, but it will not be that for me. By God's infinite grace, if I should die, death will be a leap into the light. For since I am saved, I am in Christ, and in him is no darkness." In John chapter 12 we read, "While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not walk in darkness." Now tell me, freethinker, which do you think is best, to leap into the light or to leap into the dark? To know where I will be after death, or to be careless and ignorant about such an important matter? 12 years later, the doctor heard the good news that the dying shoemaker, who lived nearly a year after the doctor's visit, decided that only a fool would take a leap into the dark, when he might rest upon the sure promises of the Word of God. It might be profitable to ask everyone in my radio audience this important question. Will death to you be a leap into the dark, or a leap into the light? In other words, do you know where you are going? The one thief who died by the side of the Lord Jesus knew where he was going, for he had the guarantee from the lips of the Son of God, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He entered paradise by grace, for he had no good works to present. The Apostle Paul expressed his desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. There was no uncertainty about it for Paul. It was by no means a leap into the dark. Paul entered heaven by grace, for he did not have sufficient good works to present. He did not believe in the erroneous doctrine of soul sleeping or the intermediate state, but he taught and believed exactly what the Bible teaches, that when a person leaves this world, he is immediately in heaven, if saved, or immediately in hell, if lost. The doctrine of soul sleeping is based upon human speculations, and not upon the word of truth. And Paul did not say, "I have a desire to depart and to sleep in the grave," but rather, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Read it in Philippians 1:23. Those who go to be with Christ must learn to know him here. Only those who are redeemed by his precious blood will be with him in glory. Those who have ignored the cleansing value of his blood and try to climb in some other way by trying to live a good Christian life, by praying for forgiveness, by following religious rituals, will someday be awakened to learn that these lead only to a leap into the dark. If you are depending upon your good Christian life to make you fit for heaven, you will have to take a leap into the dark, and it will be dark, very dark. Jesus said, "Outer darkness, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." The only person who can rest in absolute assurance is the one who is resting completely in the finished work of Christ. If you are resting in the blood of Christ alone, you are, according to God's word, as secure as Christ himself. If you are resting in Christ plus your good Christian life, you will never be secure. If his blood is not worth trusting 100%, it is not worth trusting at all. If that alone will not save, then nothing will save, and you and I are doomed. If you want to avoid a leap in the dark at death, rest your soul entirely in Christ and what he has done for you. In John 13, we have the story of a man who took a leap into the dark. It was Judas Iscariot, who sat at the Passover table with Christ, and after receiving the sop, he immediately went out, and we read, it was night. Poor Judas, who traveled with the disciples and pretended to be one of them, at last his true colors are seen, And because he was never converted, he was compelled to take a leap into the dark. Judas had many opportunities, and perhaps the same is true in your case. You have had many opportunities of trusting the Savior, but you have passed them by. And if you continue on in this careless manner, it will someday be your turn to leap into the dark. I'm afraid you have not stopped to consider how dreadful that fateful day will be. You have tried to think of that day as being a great distance, and yet it may be at the very threshold of your door. And you cannot afford to trifle with that precious soul of yours. Of the two, you can better afford to live without Christ than to die without Christ. It was Tom Paine who in his dying moments said, "I would give worlds if I had them, if the Age of Reason had never been published. O Lord, help me, stay with me, it is hell to be left alone." Charles IX, King of France, uttered these words as he was about to leap into the dark. "What blood, what murderers, what evil counselors have I followed? I am lost, I see it well." It seems so unnecessary for anyone to leap into the dark, when God, at such an infinite cost, has provided a Savior who can take the sting out of death and escort the Christian safely home to heaven. Christ spent 3 hours in the darkness while he was hanging on the cross, and during that time of thick darkness, he bore the load of our sins. He paid the price that God's holiness demanded, and all who rest in his atoning sacrifice shall never taste darkness nor be banished from his presence. In the light of all this, how can you still continue on facing nothing but darkness? It is not God's desire that you should perish. It is not Christ's desire that you should perish, for he loved you and gave himself for you. It is not the Holy Spirit's desire that you should go on in that lost condition, for he is convicting you and trying to bring you to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. I ask you to consider this very important thing this very night, and I trust you will open your heart and receive God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your own personal Savior.